is a person. Amen? And we can have a relationship with him just like Jesus had a relationship with his disciples on the earth. Right? You can have a relationship with the Holy Spirit. You don't need to be afraid of him, right? Because he's invisible. The world doesn't have any clue about him because they can't see him. The world says seeing is believing, right? But we say believing is seeing. Amen. So even though you can't see him, he's here right now. He's here right now helping us with the word, bringing the word illumination and lightning to our hearts and to our minds. So he's here right now. He's right here. There are angels in this room. Do you know that?
Yes.
There's
yes.
angels in this room.
Amen.
If you could pull back the layer of the realm of the visible, you could see in the invisible realm. There's a very invisible realm. And I just believe that there was something going on here last night. We had to come in early this morning and set up the church. But sometimes you got to prepare the way.
Yes.
Amen.
That's right.
Yes. Okay, so you know what I'm talking about. You got to take up some roots. You got to cast out the devil. The devil is a liar. He's a sly.
That's right.
He's a sly dude, but he's under our feet.
Yes.
Amen? So let's see what in John 16:13 it says. This is talking about him, a relationship with the Holy Spirit. I want to give you some verses here. John 16:13 says, howbeit when he, the Spirit of truth is come, he will guide you into all truth. For he shall not speak of himself, but whatsoever he shall hear, that shall he speak, and he will show you things to come. Now, I want you to realize that he's a person, yes, but he's also leads us. He never pushes you. He'll never push you. He's always leading. He'll always show you things ahead so you can go forward. He'll never push you. The devil pushes. The devil accuses. Remember that. The Holy Spirit's very gentle. He's very gentle, and he will remind you of things and be very gentle with you. But he's a person. And really, we need to have him in control of our lives. Somebody said and written songs about he's our co-pilot. I don't want him to be my co-pilot. I want him to be my pilot.
Yes.
I want him to be in the driver's seat. I don't want to just, you know, have him move by the window. I want to have him in the driver's seat.
Yes.
Right?
Yes.
And we need to have him in a relationship and talk to him and let him talk to us. Don't be afraid. A lot of people get so concerned about tongues and speaking in tongues, and people, they get so, oh no, he's gonna make me fall on the floor and fling along like a fish, and and they make fun, and the world makes fun. But listen, the Holy Spirit is very basic. He's very stable, right? He's very stable. He's very wise. We need to have wisdom in this life, and we need to walk with the Holy Spirit, because when we're walking with him, we're never alone.
Amen.
You could be single, and you're never alone, though. You can be a single person in here this morning, but you're not alone.
Amen.
You're never alone. You can be in your car by yourself, but you're not alone.
Right.
You're never alone. He's always there. You may not see him, but he's always there. When you're driving down the road, I'm sure, George, when you're driving all your clients around, you're by yourself. You're not by yourself. She always has somebody with her. It's the Holy Spirit. He is always with us. He's the Spirit of truth.
Amen.
Yesterday there were some people in our neighborhood walking around, and they were, you know, three by three, you know, and they're walking around our neighborhood, and just something about it. My spirit, the Holy Spirit, spoke to me and said, that's not truth. What they're peddling is not truth.
Right.
You know, Jehovah's Witnesses are not truth. Mormons are not truth. Scientologist is not truth.
That's right.
And if we just let this go, and just let everybody come. No, it's not. It's a demonic. It's demonic.
Right.
It's not truth.
Right.
We have the Spirit of truth.
Right.
And the Spirit of truth on the inside of you will show you what is not truth.
Right.
And if somebody comes to your door and they're not of truth, you don't have to let them in. You don't have to answer the door. Okay? So, it says here in John 14:17, even the Spirit of truth, whom the world cannot receive, because it seeth him not, neither knoweth him, but you know him, we know him, because he dwelleth with you. Jesus was saying this, recorded in John 14. Then he said, he shall be in you. Jesus was talking about Pentecost. He was foreshadowing and saying, he will be in you. He's talking about the day of Pentecost, that he shall be in you. And that's where he's at right now. He's living on the inside of us. and we're never alone. Did you know he's living on the inside of you? You have the Holy Spirit living on the inside of you. Everywhere you walk, he's living on the inside of you. Everywhere you go, he's living on the inside of you. And he's showing you things. He's giving you wisdom. He's teaching you things. He's giving you hope in the land of where there seems to be no hope. He's on the inside of you. Praise God. Now, I want to read this next verse, John 14:26, from the Amplified Bible. And I want to show you these seven things that he is to us. And I think we can glean from these things and what he is to us. In the Amplified Bible in John 14:26, it says, "But the Comforter, Counselor, Helper, Intercessor, Advocate, Strengthener, Standby."
Amen.
The Holy Spirit. Let me read those again. This is what he is. The Comforter, Counselor, Helper, Intercessor, Advocate, Strengthener, Standby, the Holy Spirit, whom the Father will send in my name. Remember, Jesus was saying this, and now he has come in my place to represent me. And look at this, act on my behalf. Wow, isn't that awesome? The Holy Spirit will act on the behalf of Jesus. Anything Jesus did while he was on the earth, the Holy Spirit will do now on his behalf in the name of Jesus. Hallelujah. He says he will teach you things and he will cause you to recall, will remind you of, or bring to your remembrance everything I have told you. Everything I have told you. So everything that you have learned, everything that the word that's in you, the Holy Spirit will bring it up to your remembrance.
Yes,
He'll remind you of how good God is. He'll remind you of where you come from. He'll remind you of where you are now and where you were then. He'll remind you to give you encouragement that he provided before, he'll provide again.
Amen.
Now, in verse 27, it says, "Peace I leave with you." Look at that. Peace. If you want to sum up the whole character of the Holy Spirit, we'd say peace. Peace. If you're trying to make a decision and you don't have peace, then you better wait until you get peace. A lot of people make decisions and choices in a real quick way, or and they never wait for peace, but we have to wait for peace because the Holy Spirit is peace.
Yes.
Jesus is the Prince of Peace. Peace. He said, "Peace I leave with you, my own peace I now give and bequeath to you. Not as the world gives do I give to you. Do not let your hearts be troubled, neither let them be afraid." So if you're troubled about something or if you're afraid about something, don't let your heart be troubled. Don't let yourself be afraid. Everything that causes you to be afraid or troubled or anxious or is not of God.
That's right.
Let's just say that. You can really make it simple. Anything that is stealing, killing, destroying, causing anxiety, causing all kinds of worry, and it's not of God.
All right. That's good.
Neither let your heart be troubled, neither let it be afraid. Stop allowing yourselves to be agitated and disturbed. Do not permit yourselves to be fearful and intimidated and cowardly and unsettled. Don't you like that?
Yes.
Stop allowing yourselves to be agitated and disturbed. Don't permit yourselves to be fearful and intimidated. That we need to hear that today in the world. We don't need to be intimidated by the world. Don't be intimidated by the devil. When the devil goes around and saying, "Well, this lifestyle is good, and we're coming out," you know? Well, you need to go back in. You don't have to allow it. You don't have to allow it. I know I'm sounding kind of hard, but I feel like the Holy Spirit needs to really get us, in the right way here today. Because if we're not careful, and the church is just, we just accept, don't say anything, no, come on. We gotta believe what we believe.
Yes.
Okay? We don't hate people, but we hate sin. Right. We hate the devil.
Right.
And the devil is a loser, he's a stealer, he's a killer, and he's a destroyer. Okay?
Yeah.
Now, these seven things. Number one, the Holy Spirit is the Comforter. Has anybody ever, I know up north, when you get, it's the winter time, it's real cold, and you know what a comfort is.
Yeah.
A comforter? Oh, there's nothing like having a big old comfort. Maybe the fire's blazing, and there's Christmas songs on, and let's just all go back to those, you know, White Christmas musics and all the Bing Crosby, and you have a comforter, and you just put that comforter on you. Can you feel it?
Yes.
Can you feel it? Oh, what is it? It's protection. It's peace. It's just love. It's all surrounding you, and you just fall asleep with that peace. Oh, wow. We don't get that down here, do we? Unless you turn your thermostat down to 50. Bring out the comforters. But no, you got to go up north to get this. But he's like a blanket. He will come on you like a comforter and just surround you. So comforting, so comforting, right? So he's also, number two, a counselor. Oh, wow. He's a counselor. There's so many counselors out there. We go here and there to get counsel. And really, a counselor is something, what? They just listen. A counselor just listens and lets you kind of tell them what the problem is. Counselor doesn't do nothing, really, in the natural. They just kind of just sit there and act like they are listening. But the Holy Spirit is, that's true, the Holy Spirit is the true counselor because he cares about us. I love this verse in Proverbs 3, 5 and 6. It says, trust in the Lord with all thine heart and lean not into thine own understanding. In all thy ways acknowledge him and he shall direct thy paths. That's a good verse to memorize. He's the counselor. He will, if we acknowledge him, he will give us counsel. He'll give us counsel on what to do. He'll give us counsel. It's so wonderful that that's one of his attributes, is that he is a counselor. He will show us things. He'll, you know, there's things that he knows about us that nobody else knows. There's rooms in us that he knows what's there and nobody else knows. And a lot of times he'll shine lights in those rooms for us to deal with those things that are on the inside of that. I'm telling you, he will, right? As we grow spiritually, he'll begin to go, and we'll say, no, don't go in that room. Don't go in that attic. That attic's been shut and locked for years. Nobody knows what bolt. But he says, no, unlock that door.
Yes.
Let me come in. Let me shine light in there.
Yes.
Let you get some healing in there. Let's shine the light in there and let you get free from that. Amen? Thank God that he's our counselor.
Yeah.
He's our counselor. Number three, he's our helper. He's our helper. Isaiah 41:10 says, fear thou not, for I am with thee. Be not dismayed, for I am thy God. I will strengthen thee. I will help thee. I will uphold thee with the right hand of my righteousness. So he's our helper. He helps us. In Hebrew, the word help means to surround, to protect, or to aid. To help us, to aid us. But he's our helper. He helps us. You know, he'll help you in this life. When I was raised, I grew up, you know, without a father to show me things, what to do. But the Holy Spirit helps me today on things. I may not have a clue in my mind, but he will show me things on how to do things. Because I need him. He's the only one I got.
Amen.
He's the only one I got. I can't call, hey, Dad, what do I do on this situation? I got to say, Abba, Father, what do I do? What do I do? And that's a wonderful thing. Sometimes I get down in the mully grubs. You know what a mully grub is? That colorful expression. I start feeling sorry for myself. Oh, I wish I had this, I wish I had that. But you know what? He always says, you have been blessed to have me as your father. You've been given a great gift, my son, to have me as your father. Because some people don't. But you have dependence upon me like many don't. So I get the goods. I get the good stuff.
Amen.
And he always is an inside job. He does an inside job. He rises up on the inside of us and gives us clues, gives us hope, gives us teaching, gives us things to hang on to. So he is our helper. He's our helper. Number four, he's our intercessor. Intercessor. What does it mean? In Romans 8:26, it says, likewise the Spirit also helpeth our infirmity. For we know not what we should pray for as we ought, but the Spirit, Holy Spirit, himself, should be himself, he's a person, maketh intercession for us with groanings which cannot be uttered. So the Holy Spirit, when we're praying as best as we can in English, and we're praying, but it seems like it's not just getting through, then we switch over to praying in our prayer language, then he takes that. He intercedes for us right to the Father. And so we can pray, and he intercedes for us. So we can pray what really we need to pray. And the Father will understand as we pray. Your understanding will not be fruitful, but your spirit will be fruitful. So he communicates to the Father on our behalf what we need. Number five, I love this. He's our advocate. What is an advocate? A good way to think about an advocate is he's our lawyer. He's one who assists and defends or pleads for us. A lawyer pleads on the behalf of someone. You know, if you're in a courtroom, you need to have a good lawyer. Because there's going to be a prosecutor that's trying to prosecute you and throw you in prison, but you need a good lawyer who is going to say everything about you, who's going to remind the judge everything about you that says that you're innocent. Right?
Amen.
And listen, this is what happens to believers. In Revelation 12:10, it says, I heard a loud voice saying in heaven, now has come salvation and strength and the kingdom of our God and the power of his Christ. Look at this. For the accuser of our brethren is cast down, which accused them before our God day and night. See, the devil runs around accusing believers. He might have accused you this week. Accusing you of things, accusing you of that, using things, accusing you, and you're just down, you're accused, you're condemnation, oh yeah. But that's the devil.
Yes.
He's accusing you of things. He's accusing you of years ago, of your past. He's accusing you of things. He's the accuser.
Amen.
The Holy Spirit is not the accuser. The devil is an accuser.
Yes.
All right? I don't know why I'm so strong about this morning, because the church is not preaching this. They're just preaching a real bland milk bouillon message. We need to have a clear, definite, what does the word say? The devil is very real, and he is an accuser of the brethren. He will accuse you of things you did when you were a child. Right? He'll accuse you of things that happened that you, like, oh man, why am I thinking about this? I'm being accused. But we have the Holy Spirit as our lawyer, who will remind you what the word says.
Right.
So you come back and say, well, I've been accused, but the lawyer says, but look, 2 Corinthians 5:17 says, he's a new creature. Old things are passed away, all things become new. The psalmist said, as far as the east from the west, so far has he removed his transgressions from us. This person right here, he's covered in the blood. The blood of Jesus has purged his conscience from dead works through the living God. This person right here is a king's kid. He's a king's kid. He's a daughter of Jehovah. Hallelujah. You can't accuse him anymore. I'm his lawyer, and I'm telling you, he's telling the judge, he is innocent.
Amen.
Because of the blood of Jesus, he's innocent. He's been bought, paid for with the blood of Jesus. He is not a slave. He is not a sinner. He's a new creature. He's a king's kid. And he's standing here, and this is his father, Abba Father. So he's a king's kid. So devil, you might as well just get out of this courtroom.
That's right.
Stop accusing my client of these lies. And you know, the devil's a liar. He's a father of lies. He's a liar, liar, pants on fire. He's a liar. So anything he's told you this week, the opposite is true. Think about that. Anything he's told you, the opposite is true. Wow. That's pretty powerful, isn't it? So he's our lawyer. Number six, he's our strengthener. We need strength, don't we? In these days, we need strength. Ephesians 3:16 says that he would grant you according to the riches of his glory to be strengthened with what?
Might.
Might by his spirit in the inner man. But can I take the cover off of this word might? Because it's not our definition of might. The word might here is the word dunamis. The word might here that we are strengthened with is the word dunamis. The word dunamis is the same word used in Acts 1:8, but you shall receive power. After that, the Holy Ghost has come upon you. You are strengthened by his might or his dunamis power, which means in the Greek, miraculous power, ability, abundance, worker of miracles, strength, wonderful work. Woo, isn't that good?
Yeah.
So think about that. On the inside of you, you are strengthened by dunamis power by his spirit in the inner man. So that dunamis power is deposited in your inner man right now. You're walking around with that same spirit that raised up Jesus from the dead. Romans 8:11. If the same spirit that raised up Jesus from the dead dwell in you, that same spirit shall also quicken you by his spirit that dwelleth in you. That dunamis power, that resurrection power, that miraculous power, that healing power, that raising from the dead power, that overcoming power, that power that causes you to overcome and go over to the other side, that power that causes you to be healed, that power that causes the blind eyes to see, that power that causes the lame to walk, that power that causes those in wheelchairs to get up and throw away their crutches, the same power that moved across the face of the waters in Genesis is the same power that dwells on the inside of every believer. Hallelujah! Dwelling them, walking them, and peripatetio, walking in them, walking in them, walking in them. Why is the church weak? Because they're not told who's living on the inside of them.
Yes.
They're not given the mirror of God's word to shine in front of them and saying, oh, that's who I am. That's who I am. That's what I'm doing this morning. I'm giving you the mirror of God's word, putting it in front of you, and saying, that's who you are.
That's right.
That's who you are. That's who you are in God's eyes. That's the inner man. That's who you are in God's sight. So you see that on the inside of you, and you know that. And so when you see it and you hear it from here, what I'm saying to you, see, I'm just a messenger. Don't shoot the messenger. I'm just the messenger. And I'm told to say this because faith comes by hearing. And hearing by the word of God. You cannot know that he lives on the inside of you unless you're hearing that he lives on the inside of you.
Amen.
Faith begins where the will of God is known.
Yes.
When you hear what God's word says about you, faith comes by hearing. And so that's deposited on the inside of you. So then you hear that it's there. So then you act like you would if he is there because he is. You act like you would if he is there because he is. And you walk around. Well, if he's on the inside of me, then yes, greater is he that's in me than he that's in the world. If he's living on the inside of me, I can go into that situation because light lives on the inside of me. Jesus lives on the inside of me, and so darkness has to flee. If he lives on the inside of me, I can go to that family reunion and they can see Jesus on the inside of me. I don't have to be fearful. I don't have to be timid. I don't have to be afraid. I don't have to be intimidated by any devil that's out there because the greater one lives on the inside of me. Hallelujah. He lives, dwells, not just on the inside of me, but on the inside of me. On the inside of you. Man, the devil was fighting me so hard this morning because the devil is so afraid of the army that's being developed right now. He is so afraid of the power that's in this room. He's so afraid of the power that's represented in this body right now. There are people in here right now that you're learning that the dunamis power is dwelling on the inside of you, and you're going to come to the conclusion that if the healer lives in you, I don't need to be sick anymore. If the provider lives on the inside of you, you don't have to be poor no more. If the peace lives on the inside of you, you don't need to be anxious anymore. If the power of God dwells on the inside of you, you don't have to be intimidated by anything in this world.
Yes.
I mean, I noticed this the other day. I was in the hospital visiting some people from our church, the Gowdies, and we love them, and they're doing fine. He should be out today, but we're just walking through the halls of the hospital, and I noticed this. And I don't know if my son noticed this. He probably did too. But people just would just look at us like, who are you? What are you doing here?
Right.
I mean, your very presence. But you got to know who you are in Christ. That's the key. You've got to hear it, believe it, and then act like it. Stir up the gift of God. Stir up the greater one on the inside of you. Stir up the greater one. Don't be intimidated by the devil. He's a liar, he's a loser, and he's under your feet.
Amen.
He's a liar, he's a loser, and he's under your feet.
Amen.
Let the light of the gospel and the good news shine on the light of you today.
Yes.
That no matter where you walk, he's living on the inside of you. He's living on the inside of you. You know, one time the devil was telling me, well, you might as well just leave the earth right now. It's just, no, you might just go right now. You know, nothing's happening. You might as well just go. Just leave early, and oh, what a great service they will have for you. Oh, wonderful. Then I said, no. God said, I will live long and finish strong.
That's right.
He said that I will live 95 years and beyond if he returns. He says that I will live long and finish strong, and I will declare the works of the Lord.
Amen.
He said, I will preach the gospel around the world.
That's right.
I will teach believers who they are, what they have, and where they are seated. I will teach believers the victory and the spiritual authority that they have in me, saith the Lord. My hand is upon you, my son, and you're not going to be taken out by any devil. You are going to live long and finish strong until I come. Hallelujah.
Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Praise God.
Amen. Period.
Praise God. Yeah.
Put a period on that.
That's right.
Praise God. Oh, aren't you afraid of saying that? Won't the devil hear you? I could care less. Somebody said one time to me, oh, there's devils praying for you. They're cursing you. There's devils in this area. And I said, show me. Bring me to them.
Yeah.
I want to meet with them.
Praise God.
But you know, some people, oh, it's fearful. Oh. Churches have been shut down because of that fear. But we're not of those that fear.
That's right.
The giant slayer lives on the inside of you. The greater one lives on the inside of you. The same spirit, dunamis power, that reached down and raised up Jesus from the dead. And when he did that, God the Father, the very act of raising him from the dead, did not just raise Jesus from the dead. He's the head and we are his body. The act of God raising up Jesus from the dead also rose you up from the dead, rose you up from sin. And also when Jesus was ascended, you were ascended, hallelujah, and over far above principalities and power and power. And when Jesus sat down at the right hand of the Father, you sat down at the right hand of the Father. And that's where you are seated this morning. Hallelujah. And the devil is under your feet. You are seated at the right hand of the Father. Hallelujah. Glory to God. If we, we're building an army. We're preaching this word so you can get it on the inside of you.
Amen.
And when you do, you'll just, your life, you'll see victory and victory as you go. Victory in the name of Jesus. The last thing I want to say before we partake of communion is, he is our standby. What is a standby? Well, you know, I love to see our military, you know, flybys and flyovers of the 250th birthday of our nation. Praise God. I love it. I love it. But, you know, in war, and even right now, you might say that all of our forces are in standby. What does that mean? They're locked and loaded. Don't be fooled. They're locked and loaded. In case they're needed. They're standing by. You know, a telescope, I don't know, maybe you've heard the Navy, maybe Bill knows this, but you're down there, you know, the guy in the telescope, periscope, you know, enemy, 54 degrees, okay, Captain, stand by, load the tubes, what do they call those, the torpedoes, thank God, we have a Navy person, load the torpedoes, Captain or Sergeant. Captain. And he tells, is it a yeoman? Tells the guy. No, stand by. Stand by.
Stand by.
Stand by. They're locked and loaded, but stand by. All of you in here this morning, the Holy Spirit's standing by. He's standing by. He's waiting for you to just use the name of Jesus.
Amen.
He's waiting for you to say in the name of Jesus. And that torpedo is going out of that. Go right on target. Kablam! Kablam! Nothing left. Nothing left. The Holy Spirit is standing by. Standing by. And then we have angels that are standing by that hearken unto the voice of the Word of God. How many times have we been in our cars? Near misses. Things that happened. We don't know how we didn't get hit by a car or this and that. It happened. We have angels that are around our cars. Thank God for angels that help us to stand by. It says, and I looked this up, to stand by is actually a verb. It means to wait in expectation for some event or to make ready. You know what faith is? It's really expectation. You're expecting God to do something. Right? Think about that. Faith is expecting. I'm expecting God to do something. I'm expecting somebody to walk in here someday and say, this church needs a building. Yeah. We just want to say you can buy this property, this building. It's already there. It's a church that's vacated for a dollar because of, you know, taxes. And just, here, you need a church building? Yeah, okay. Okay, we'll take it. Let's pray about it. Okay, we'll take it. I'm telling you, we have to have expectation. Expectation that God's going to do it. He's going to do something supernatural.
Still, Pastor, have you been looking at, aren't you worried? Aren't you worried? I mean, it's been so long.
You know what? The cloud is still here.
That's right.
The glory cloud is still here.
That's right.
And I'm not going to take us out of the glory. I'm not going to take us out of the glory. But when he leaves, when he moves, we're moving.
Yeah.
His word will be there. We'll all know. Everybody will be in agreement. You'll know, you'll know, you'll know. But until that time, we're going to stand in the glory.
Yeah.
They love us here. They love us here. You know that? They don't want us to go, but when the glory leaves, we'll leave.
Yeah.
Just like when the glory left when we started in the movie theater 24 years ago. The glory was there for about a year. And we were having great services, you know. But then they changed leadership, and the guy that came in there then, that was, you know, taking our payment and everything, I guess wasn't a Christian or whatever, but the glory left because they started playing the movies before I got done preaching.
Wow.
They started playing Harry Potter before I got done with the sermon. And I didn't like that. That's not right. Come on, that's not right. And so instead of fighting with them, I said, okay, fine. Glory is left. So, okay. That's fine. Know when the glory leaves in your life.
That's right.
Know when it's time to do something. Know the seasons. Know the timing of things. Okay? Know the timing of things. You know, there's times to talk to people. There's times to not talk to people. Right? There's times, and there's seasons not to. But just know the times. He's also, the word standby means to remain loyal or faithful to. Oh, he's been so loyal and so faithful to us, hasn't he? Has he been faithful to you?
Yes.
He's been our standby. And then the third little a in this outline, standby. I'm going to end with this. It means to support, to continue to support, despite things being bad. Hallelujah. Let me say that again. Because not many charismatic churches say this, to support, to continue to support, despite things being bad. Now, I don't mean God brings bad things, but sometimes we go through some things. We go through some things that are uncomfortable. We go through some things that we want to say, I'm done. I'm quitting. I'm leaving. I'm going the other way. Sometimes we go through some hard things, but you know what? I always view those hard things as just sharpening that sword. Grinding that sword, sharpening that axe, sharpening that axe. Instead of leaning away from it, lean into it.
All
right. Lean into it. Lean into it. And that's what we have done in this church. We've leaned into things. We've stayed when things got hard. We've stayed when things got difficult.
Yes.
But when you stay when things are hard, then you see God's faithfulness.
Praise God.
You see His faithfulness.
Amen.
You know, and so I think it's so wonderful for us as a word church to be honest and say, it's not always easy. Hello, it's not always easy. You're going to go through some things, but don't quit. Lean into it.
That's right. Yes.
And stay. Right? And stay. Lean into it. If you have to just, you know, go to bed, get up in the morning. You didn't leave. Stay. Stay. That's who we are. We are heirs of the promise.
Amen.
If you be Christ, then you're Abraham's seed and heirs according to the promise. Did you know that you are Abraham's seed? Well, somebody said, what do you mean by that? Jesus was born of the lineage of Abraham.
That's right.
Right? Yes, Isaac, he was, but Jesus is in the lineage of Abraham, the lineage of Isaac. And so you have Jesus living on the inside of you. So if you're not full Jewish, you're at least half Jewish. No, right? You may not be a full Jewish, but you have Jew living on the inside of you. Praise God. You have the blessing of Abraham. So whatever is Abraham's is yours. Abraham, this will be a good segue for Becky. Abraham was rich. Abraham had more than enough. He was humble, but he had so much. So many cattle, so many farms, so many riches, so many things. And he was humble, and he used it to glorify God.
Yes.
Amen.
Amen.
Amen. Amen. Praise God. Anybody get anything out of this today? Praise God.